Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Praise God. You know what? We do have the victory.
Amen.
We have the victory.
Amen.
You know, the V back in World War II when it was over, and I just learned this from my mother the other day. I didn't realize that. You know, back in my day when I was a kid, peace sign was the thing of the day. But she told me that back in the war when it was happening, the V was for victory, victory to inspire people. But you know, in victory, there is peace. And we have that victory in Christ. I'm wearing this camo and because it's Veterans Day, all right? It's Veterans Weekend, I should say, and I am a vet. So it fit appropriately for where we are today. Because guess what? You're a veteran too. If you're in the Lord, you're a participant of a service. We serve the God Almighty, all right? We have victory. Why? What gives us the victory? What comes with that blood? What do we get when we get saved? What do we get in Christ? What do we get that gives us the authority? What did he say? I give you my
name.
He gave you his name. He gave me his name. Pastor Trey is teaching this morning on a series called Eternal Life. He came to give us eternal life because no man in himself could ever bring that to the world. It had to be Christ, God in Christ, through the cross, bringing eternal life to mankind. And Pastor Trey is talking about relationship, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, the ministry of reconciliation that has been committed to believers. Now, I truly believe this is our problem in the body of Christ. We don't have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. We really don't. We know him, but we don't know him. And that makes all the difference. And, you know, it's like, well, how do I get to know him? Ministry of Reconciliation. You'll find it in 2 Corinthians 5. Let me get my iPad going. You know, when I get up here, I say to the Lord, you know, Lord, I know you have this message. Because you know what? I know the Lord very intimately. I know him because I see the fruit. I see the fruit. And there's nothing wrong with telling people in a wonderful place of assurance, and they're not being arrogant about it. I do know him, but there's more of him to know. But when I get up here, the difficulty for me is to get started. That's the same difficulty for you, to get started. But he said, if you open this mouth, I will fill it. If you'll get in the Word of God and open the Word of God, he'll fill your heart with him. And once you start opening your mouth and moving, then the Holy Ghost can rise inside you and move and take over and start doing and teaching and ministering to others that he wants to do through us. And we can't get that unless we understand the ministry of reconciliation and begin to enter into that ministry. And every believer has been called to that. That is your ministry. If you want to know what your ministry is, it's a ministry of reconciliation. Let me get to it, and I'm going to. Now, I am standing in faith for my eyes to be corrected and wear no glasses, so y'all bear with me. That's another place of fear that enters my heart in front of people, because as I read, I can read, but if you let fear come in, it take the vision right from you. If you let fear come in, it take anything you're trying to achieve through the Lord, it'd take it away from you. So I'm telling you now so that you'll understand if I stumble over some words, and the fear will go away because I bring it to the light, boom. I make myself vulnerable before you. So you can also be assured that when you're in fear, you can tell someone about it, and they can come alongside you and help you.
Amen.
So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, and it's verse 17, I believe. And this is my favorite scriptures. I teach from 2 Corinthians 5. It shows the cross. It shows the regeneration. It shows righteousness. It shows reconciliation. It shows the new creation. It shows you everything that Christ did for you and the world at the cross. If you'll start beginning to study the cross, you always bring everything back to the cross, whether it's a good thing you're stepping into or something that's happening to you in the wrong or with a wrong attitude or a wrong thinking. You bring it back to the cross, and you filter through the cross of Christ to find your answer, because he is always the answer. In our relationship that Pastor Trey was talking about this morning with an eternal life, and he's going to talk about the relationship of the father and a child and the relationship of a husband and a wife. When we come to Christ, we marry the Lord. We take his name. And that's power, he told us. All power and authority. In my name, you have what I tell you, you have. But if you and I have not entered into the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile ourselves to what God has for us, we'll never know. And I believe that's what happens. Did to me. I came into the body of Christ because, see, in the ministry of reconciliation, that's actually a rest. That's actually entering into rest. Rest is a state of just quietness. Quietness. Assurance, and it's an act, it's a state of being free of any guilt. You're innocent, and it's an act of real reconciliation to God. So when you're at rest, you know you reconciled yourself back to God. Now, if you're agitated in your mind, your heart, spirit, soul, and body, your heart, your soul, and your spirit is your heart. If you're agitated there, you're not in rest. You have not reconciled yourself to God yet. Amen. In that area of your heart, of your belief system, whatever you're thinking about, okay? So in the ministry of reconciliation, Paul tells us that he's talking about being a new creation, and, you know, if you're in Christ, the old things have passed away, all things are new, and they're of God. You're a new creation in Christ. And he says, so that if any be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. All things become new. All things... Here we go, y'all. Become new, have the all things. And the all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and did give to us the ministration of reconciliation. How that God was in Christ, a world reconciling to himself, not reckoning to them their trespasses, and having put in us the word of reconciliation in behalf of Christ, that we are ambassadors. You and I cannot be an ambassador of Christ if we have not gotten ourselves reconciled to God. We do this. We get saved. We go out. We think, I got to tell everybody about Jesus. And yes, you can share him. But I want to put this in your heart. I just want to say this. I love Paul. I love reading about Paul. I love looking at Paul's life because he was a prime example. He heard everything from Christ. His revelation is directly from Christ. So he has a true understanding of this new covenant that Christ has brought us. And so in Galatians 1, I want to go there. We're going to look at Paul for a minute because this is Paul that wrote about this ministry of reconciliation. And I'm going to give a couple of definitions here. I come with notepads and scratches and all this, and I just like, I am. Yeah, I can't take notes. I've tried, so I just take them, and then I hunt for them, and I believe the Holy Spirit's going to bring it for me because I ask him to write it on the tablets of my heart so I can. Not because let me show you something. When you get reconciled to Christ, you'll know who you are. He's bringing identity. That's what it's all about. He's bringing identity and authority to you. We needed an identity. We lost our identity through Adam, an old man full of sin, in bondage. And when we get born again, we get a new identity. And that's what reconciliation is all about, is finding out who you are in this new creation. That's what it's about. So in Galatians, let's go to Galatians 1. And when I read this, you know, when I was out in the world, I didn't get saved till I was 42 years old. And I lived a very destructive lifestyle. I had an identity. I knew who I was in the world from the world standard. I was a drunk, a slut, and used my drugs. I wasn't a drug addict. I wasn't addicted to those, but I was addicted to the other two quite heavily. And when I got saved, no one told me the good news. No one told me the gospel news. I got saved. I came into the church. I wasn't discipled. As so many of us are. We come in and people just say, well, you got Jesus, you got saved, your sins are forgiven. So I try to live life with the old man identity, with the old man mindset. See, that's what reconciliation is about. There's a change in the heart. The spirit has been brought alive. The spirit is born again. The spirit is now full of God. And this is where we want to reconcile. God said in 2 Corinthians, he says, through Christ, through the act of Christ on the cross, he reconciled all of mankind to himself. And then Paul says, we beseech you, be reconciled to God. Meaning, the war is over. The war we had with God in the old man, which is just a hostility to God because we didn't understand God. Wisdom. With wisdom, get understanding. That's the first thing we need, is wisdom of God. And guess who that is? Jesus. We have the treasure of wisdom and knowledge, all the wisdom and knowledge of God sitting inside you. You got to understand, God lives in you. He is out here, but we don't have to find him out here. And I thought that because I got hooked up in religion. I got stuck in the old covenant thinking. And everything I did was external, searching for God, searching for God, searching for God, searching for God. I really don't think I knew that I had Christ living in me. I really don't think I knew that until I got grace. Well, I knew it before that, okay? I knew that. It took a while that I did, but I really got an understanding when I understood the grace of God that he had for me and the unconditional love for God. See, I fell in love with Jesus. There's a difference in loving Jesus and falling in love with Jesus. And you and I need to fall in love with Jesus. That's what reconciliation is about. Personal relationship. Beholding the Lamb. Seeing him as he is. Behold the Lamb, glory to glory, faith to faith. Study him. When you're dating your husband or a loved one that you're in, you don't just sit around looking at the four walls. You get down there and you go, oh, man. And you look at him from a distance and it's like, wow, I just love the way he just twitches his eyes. I just love the way he does that. I love the way he does that. And you're studying him. You're beholding him. And that causes you to love and become more excited about knowing them and getting to be like them. Because actually, when you're around each other long enough, you actually become like each other to some degree. Well, it's supposed to be a beautiful thing, okay? It's the name of Jesus that we're carrying. We want to look like him because he's recreated us to his image and his likeness. All right, to be reconciled, and just to tell you what reconcile means, to call back into union. Want to know the call on your life? That's the call. Christ at the cross, when he died for you, called your spirit to him. I'm inviting you to come be my bride. I'm inviting you to come, be my brother and sister. Let's see Father together. If you'll see me, you'll see Dad. You'll have all his authority. Wear it. Where are your authority? If you don't know it, how are you going to walk it? If you don't know the authority you have by this name, being married to Christ, you and I will never walk in it. We can't. We can semi-walk, but we're going to stumble. We're going to walk and stumble, and the enemy's going to come alongside us and blindside us every time because we don't know who we are. We don't know our true identity. And he's come to give us that. That's his love for mankind was to bring us back into him so that he could love us and have pleasure with us. Okay? And it says it's to conciliate anew, to call back into the union and friendship with affections which have been alienated, to restore to friendship or favor after estrangement. And the word conciliate means to draw or bring together, to unite, to call. The primary sense of the root is to strain, to stretch, or drive or draw. Calling is a strain or a driving of the voice. Christ Jesus is the voice of God. He spoke him out in the beginning. Let there be light. Wisdom, boom, showed up. Christ, light, illumination, wisdom of God all over the world, all over before the foundations of the earth was recreated. We just heard that. Let there be light. Boom. That's what he's calling you. I'm calling you into my wisdom. I'm calling you into my understanding. And a call is to hold or restrain. In a general sense, to drive, strain, or force out sound. Hence, to name, to dominate or give a name, to convoke, to summon, to direct or order, to meet, to assemble by order or public notice. To invite. Let's see the last one. To give notice to come by authority. To command to come. So you got to understand, in the name of Jesus, when he called us by his name, Jesus. Jesus. When a woman marries a man, in today's society, we don't quite get that because we're so distorted in marriage. You know, the Lord called me a couple of years ago. I used to go by my maiden name. When I married my husband, I was married to him 22 years, and I was under my maiden name. And that always caused, I wasn't a Christian. We weren't Christian then. We were worldly. And I said, I know you're my husband, and you know I'm your wife, so we don't need to change names. It's just a lot of paperwork to do, yada, yada, yada. And so we walked that way for 22 years, and then the Lord talked to me, and he said to me, Arlene, you need to take your husband's name. Now, see, he wasn't talking about Bob. He was, but indirectly he was telling me, Arlene, you've been married to me. How many years? Probably 12 years. 13 years I have been married to the Lord, but I never took his name. So my question is, how long have you been married to the Lord, and have you taken his name? Because it makes a huge difference. Taking the name of Jesus gives you power and authority. So when I took my husband's name, it changed the relationship. See, it changes in the atmosphere. We think it's okay. I go by Passmore, and he went by Robbins, and there was always confusion. He got called Mr. Passmore, and yada yada, and so, yeah. And we, but there was a slight division in our marriage. There was no full unity. So if you go by your old name, and you don't go by your new name, you have already put your unity between you and the Lord. Reconcile yourself to this name. We must reconcile ourselves to this name, because this is what gave us the power. This name gives us all the power. And we wear it in the authority. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. And the enemy of your soul, he knows if you know that you walk in that. Right. And he's going to test you. And if you're not walking there, he's going to probably devour you. And me. When I say you, I'm talking about me too. You know, it's really awesome because when I was, and I'm getting sidetracked here, but I have to say it because the other day I was going down into Macon to the Bible college, and that's the day that one of those police officers that got shot, they were doing his service at Southside Baptist Church. And I was driving northbound, and they were coming. It was like 14 or 16 motorcycle policemen. They were dressed in their blacks, whatever, black, and they were in formation. They were in unity, and they were on motorcycles, and it was a powerful visual. It's like there goes authority in unity. See, God is looking for the body of Christ to get into unity in the faith so we can walk this earth like the enemy looks and says, whoa, power coming my way, authority coming my way. And there's something in your heart when you see that, in mine anyway, because serving in the military, there's just something about that uniform that says authority, power. And we have a uniform that we wear in Christ. We have armor we wear in Christ. But if we don't know, if we haven't reconciled ourselves, and I'm going to go here, Paul in Galatians 1, 14, let's see, 15. And Paul is just telling about himself. He's talking about what happened to him. He said, when God was well pleased, having separated me from the womb of my mother and having called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might proclaim him the good news among the nations. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem unto all those apostles. See, when Paul got the call, if you go to Acts, I want to go there. Let's go to Acts 9 because I want you to see where he got the call. You got to understand what Paul is writing about here because it gives you and me the same, you know, God is a no respecter of persons. What happened to Paul, God wants to do to you and me. And he picked a man that was very religious. Okay, Acts 9. This is when Paul was Saul before his conversion, and he was on his way to Damascus. And as he was walking, you know, he was going around persecuting Christians. He was killing Christians. He was bounding them. He was taking them back to Jerusalem to put them to death. Or whatever else he could do with them, you know. So he says in here, Saul, he was out breathing out all these violence and slaughtering the disciples of the Lord. And as he was going, in verse 3, it says, in the going, he came nigh to Damascus, and suddenly there was a shine, there shone around about him a light from heaven. And having fallen upon the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why me do thou persecute? And he said, Saul said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou doest persecute. Hard for thee to kick at the pricks, against the pricks, the goad. And trembling also and astonished, Paul said, Lord, what doest thou wish me to do? And the Lord saith unto him, arise and enter into the city, and it shall be told you what I have the wrong translation up here, and it reads really weird. So he's just going to tell him what he's going to do, right? So what he's doing here, see, I can identify with Paul because I saw this bright light one day when I was in my early 20s. I saw the Lord in this bright white light. When I read this, I'm like, man, I've seen the Lord. I saw the Lord. But I didn't have any understanding of Jesus, and I made the wrong choice. Did you see what Paul said? Paul says, who are you, Lord? I don't really think he was like, who are you, Lord? Because just a couple chapters before that, he had just been where Stephen was stoned. Stephen had stood before the folks describing and talking about Christ. Stephen was a disciple full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now, Saul saw this. And if you've ever seen anybody full of faith and the Holy Spirit, you see something different. See, that man knew there had to have been a reconciliation because he was full of faith. Yes. He rested in that name. He had authority and power in that name. And Saul saw that. And I believe that when Saul got hit with the presence of God, because he heard Stephen saying, "Lord, don't hold this against them." You know, he saw that. And he was the one witnessing Stephen being stoned because they had thrown their cloaks in his footsteps, in his footprints, in his foot, at his foot, at his feet. Man. Okay. So he knew something was different about Stephen. He knew the presence of God. He heard the word Lord. I mean, he knew the Lord. He knew of the Lord through the Old Testament. He just didn't know that he didn't agree that that was the one coming. And so he took him. He said, "You go to Damascus." For 3 days, Paul was without sight. He fasted and he prayed. And I truly believe that what Paul said in Galatians, "He appeared to me to reveal his son in me." And the Lord spoke to me that one day at Bible college, and he said the same, when I was studying that, he said the same thing. He goes, "Arlene, I'm going to do that for you." And I said, "Okay, but I already know you." See, I was real religious. "I already know you." He goes, "No, I'm going to reveal my son in you to you." And that's what he wants to do to every one of us. That's the ministry of reconciliation, to have the Christ that's in you when you're born again in your spirit be known to you through your soul. You already know him in your spirit. You just don't know him through your soul. He's full 100% in your spirit. So that's what he wants to do. That's what he's come to do. "I'm showing you who I am because you're in my image, you're in my likeness. You're just like me. And you need to know who you are in me." Now, Paul sat for, let's say, 3 to 14 years, 14 years for sure, before he actually went out on his ministry track. And there's our problem in the body of Christ. We get saved, and we heard a prophetic word over us saying, "Hey, you're going to have a ministry. I'm calling you into doing this. I'm calling you into doing that." But yet we have forgotten there's a ministry called a ministry of reconciliation that must come first. That personal relationship Pastor Trey is going to be talking about, that must come first. Because out of that personal relationship with Christ comes everything else. Because it's God in us willing and working to do all the good works. He's put them in us. And what he wants from you and me is a personal relationship. A personal relationship. But he's going to give you a purpose in that. Let's go look in Acts 26. What he told Saul. Let's see what he told Saul in Acts 26. And Saul was up in front of, I think it was King Agrippa he was talking to. Telling them about his encounter with the Lord. Okay. Let me see. So he was telling them again about when he met him on the road of Emmaus, okay? On Damascus Road, rather. He was telling him about that. And then he says to them, the Lord had told him to go to Damascus. And I believe that when he sat there for those 3 days, I believe that's when he went to the third heaven. I know a lot of people say when he got stoned, and he might have gone there too, but I truly believe he went to the third heavens and heard from the Lord Jesus Christ and saw things that he could not come back and talk about because they had not yet been revealed to his heart in a place that he could talk about. Because a lot of times God reveals things to our heart, but we don't have understanding, so we're just not ready to talk about them to others. But he says, he goes in 16, "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." Thank you. Oh, really? Thank you. "But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." This is your purpose. yours and my purpose to make you a minister and a witness. Both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. This is what reconciliation is about, is becoming a minister and a witness. But not a minister, first off, to go minister. Let's get a definition of the word minister. Let me find it. Okay. Minister. Okay. It's a chief servant, an agent appointed to transact or manage business yonder, the authority of another. One to whom a king or prince entrusts the direction of affairs of state, minister of state, prime minister, a delegate or an ambassador. Now Christ said, I came to minister, not to be ministered to. So if you and me are like Christ, and we are, we didn't come to be ministered to. When we come into Christ, we came to minister. But you and I cannot minister until we meet the top minister of our life, which is Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is very personal. The Word of God must be taken very personal into your own heart first. This is all first. We must get the fruit first. And that's what it says. We get the fruit. The farmer does the sowing of the seed, and when it's harvest time, he gets the first of that produce. That's what we're doing. We're eating the first of that fruit of Christ in our, and so this is taking place in our heart. This reconciliation is a heart thing. Anything with the Word of God is a heart thing. It has nothing to do with externals and everything to do with your heart, because that's where you believe. Your central seat of belief comes right here. So we're trying to reconcile our heart, our soul, to our spirit. That's all we're doing. And we're learning as a minister. That's the purpose. We're going to be a minister, and then we're going to become a witness. Christ said, was telling the guys when they got baptized, when the Holy Ghost was coming, you will be a witness of me, not for me. See, the church has got it backwards. We want to be a witness for him. Oh, let me tell you that, Jesus. I'm going to put the tracks out. I'm going to talk to him. Jesus did this and Jesus. He said, no, I want you to be a witness of me. And here's what a witness does. It's a testimony. It's attestation of a fact or an event. That which furnishes evidence or proof. A person who knows or sees anything, one personally present as he was a witness. He was an eyewitness. And the verb, that's a noun, the verb form of this is to see and to know by personal presence. To see or know by personal presence. To bear witness, meaning to bear testimony. We're carrying the testimony in us. It's Christ in us. We're the vessel that carries the testimony. The word of my testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of my testimony, and I love not my life to death, is how we overcome and take victory.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And to give evidence with the witness of Christ in you and me, as we're walking, as we're coming into that place of reconciliation with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's our soul that we have to renew the mind. See, when we were the old man, and he's dead, right? And this is where we're going to begin in reconciling. You have to understand, you receive righteousness at the cross. Righteousness is a state of being as you ought to be. There's an Anglo-Saxon word that used to be called, the word righteousness came from this word, right-wiseness, meaning we're wise in doing the right thing. That's called wisdom, God's wisdom. He came to give us his wisdom. And the righteousness is what the gospel, Paul says, is what gives us the revelation of our righteousness. So until we get a revelation of our righteousness, the gospel really isn't real good news to you and me until we understand righteousness. And righteousness is just showing that the cross was a successful act of God, bringing mankind back to himself. And as we study the gospel, the good news of what Christ did for us, we see from God's point of view what God did right. And we're not looking at what Adam did wrong, because all that was put away. And that's what righteousness is. And if you don't understand the gift of righteousness given to you, you will not, and I don't mean this, I'm not doing a prophetic word over you to condemn, but you will not walk in the fullness of Christ. We can't. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, please. Woo-hoo, I can read it up there. He hadn't got it for me. I'm giving you time. Okay, 2 Peter. Okay, that's good. Okay, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, what? Through the great and precious promises, you may be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, the old man, of the world and its lust, through lust, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, hear this, for he who lacks these things, this divine nature attributes, is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If you don't know you're righteous, you're going to still think you're a sinner, and you're going to still be concentrating on sin. You may say, well, I know I'm not a sinner, but I sin, and I'm yada, yada, yada. You're sin conscious. You're sin conscious. And the Lord says, that's been purged. I don't want you to be sin conscious. I want you to be God conscious, which is reconciling your soul to your spirit. There's no sin in your spirit. It's gone. There's no sin there. It's clean. It's pure. It's whole, it's righteous. Reconcile your soul, come up into the soul, turn into the spirit and look. The mind of Christ sits there. He'll tell you all things. Holy Spirit's right there. He's going to tell you all things. But if you don't get this word in you, he can't work with you. If you don't have the word of God in you somewhere in your intellectual intake and start taking it and seeing it and meditating on it and let it become life. See, that's the life, the God life that's inside of us. But see, Paul said when Paul was blinded, this is why I say this word, and then blinded, even to blindness. Blindness is meaning you're darkened in your understanding. And all man comes into the world darkened in their understanding. And that's why he says, lean not on your own understanding. And he wants us to get the understanding of God. And in Isaiah 61, that word, he came to bind the brokenhearted. That word brokenhearted is bankrupt. To understanding. Bankrupt to understanding. God's understanding. We were empty. So if you're blinded, it's real easy to know where you're at. It's just, will you be truthful with yourself? Are you resting? Are you at peace? Are you still at war with God? Because he's not at war with us. We're at war with him in our soul. But Paul said he was commissioned to open the blind eyes. Open the blind eyes. That's what you and I are going to do. But we got to open our eyes first. That's what reconciliation is. We got to get with the Lord and start seeing who we are in Him. Start looking into the Spirit. Start seeing spiritual truths about us. We open our understanding. We get our blind eyes peeled off. And then we can see Him as He is. And then when I start seeing Him, I can tell somebody else about Him because I know Him. I'm actually living that God life. That's what it's about, living the life. It's not like, it's not something you force out. It's fruit. It's just, fruit just happens from having the intimate moment. You're bearing fruit to God. Works of the flesh is something we have to work at. We struggle. Fruit is just what we do. We just walk being a pear tree, an apple tree, or whatever tree we are. You know, we're the tree of life. That's what we're supposed to be producing, life. That's what you and I have been freely given. That's what you and I are freely going to, we have freely been received. We're going to freely give as life. We're trees of life. We're not trees of anything else. But if you don't know the life of Christ in you, you're never going to give life out to other people. But he wants you and me to have that life because you have joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's kingdom living. Okay? But Paul said, what we're going to do, what we have to do first is have the eyes open. Blind eyes must be open. And then, because when your eyes are open, then you can take people out of the power of Satan into the power of God. If your eyes are blinded and my eyes are blinded, we still stay under the power of Satan, although we've been set free from it. But if we're not walking in it with the knowledge through our soulish realm, we still struggle. Well, why can't I do this? I got the name of Jesus. Well, in the name of Jesus? Well, in the name of Jesus. And it won't go because you know what? You're not believing. You don't have true knowledge of who you are. You're still struggling with the old man. Because, number one, he said, you will not be able to see. You're short-sighted. What's his faith? Where does faith see? Far off. Faith sees far off. If you'll notice, those attributes are started with faith and it ends with love. I want you to add between faith and love, because faith love works by love, and all that stuff will be added. The more you understand the love of God for yourself, the more all this stuff will be added to you as you start reconciling yourself to God in your heart. And it is a labor. It's a labor to enter the rest. Well, it's not a labor to enter the rest. It's a labor to enter the trust for the rest. That's what we're really laboring, is to trust God. And that's a full rest right there. That's that, when you know you're resting, you know you have reconciled yourself back to God. And the peace, there's no war. You're not agitated. You're fully trusting Him. Fully trusting Him in all avenues of your life. Whether it looks like it's what you think it's supposed to look like, faith sees afar off. Here, if you're not seeing this, you're seeing yourself in the old man. And here's for the first part of reconciliation, I truly believe. And it's Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10. I think that's the scripture. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. The first thing you and I need to know is what took place in the death of His Son. I must identify with His death, so are you. Because He said, I'm not a quarter of the scripture, but He's talking about if you have to identify with that death, and in that death, that's another one. But that's, I love that one. That we'll go with that one because that's a good one. I've been crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. This life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Christ, who gave Himself for me and loved me. Loved me and gave Himself for me. If you don't know you're crucified, and you are, where is the dead man? Where's that old man? He's dead. Now, if you and I want to live by that old man, you know all you're going to get is death. Right. It's a guarantee. You already know what you're getting, death. Don't live by the old man. Reconcile your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. identify with the death of the crucifixion on the cross. I am crucified with Christ. You don't have to die daily. You died once. That's all. Christ died once. He didn't die daily for you, and you don't got to die daily for him. You just got to know you're dead. That's all you got to know. You got to get up in the morning and say, I'm dead.
That's right. Reckon yourself dead.
That's it. Reckon yourself dead. But alive in Christ. See, Christ is trying to reveal to you the only Christ that you're going to see. And he told Paul, and that Paul said, don't see any man by the flesh. You see him by the Spirit. He's talking to you and me first right here. Do not see this person by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Reconciliation. Reconciliation of the soul and the spirit. Reconcile your soul to what's true about you and let the word of God define who you are. Okay? We're one with him there. The life that we're trying to become, not become, we are, Christ is revealing the resurrected Christ to you and me. See, in baptism, when we do our baptism on December the 4th, if you've never been baptized, it's really a good idea for you to participate, because when you get the knowledge of what that truly is, not just like dunk in the water and do this and do that. It is about, okay, I am now realized when I received Christ. I died with him. I died. Woo! And you go down in the water. That old man is dead. Sin is gone. Oh, sin is gone. You don't relate to sin anymore. You died, you rose. Arise to righteousness. Arise to this new man. Begin to live in the life that Christ came to give you and me. Rise up to who you are. Arise means get up out of the grave. That's what he's saying to us. Awake to your righteousness. Open them blind eyes. Wake up to your righteousness. Because in that, you're going to know everything about your son. Everything about yourself. Rise and shine. Boom. Wisdom. Boom. But if you don't, and we don't, you sit down with the Lord. Don't worry about getting out there doing things for the Lord. Don't try to do that. Don't try to do effort. Don't do flesh efforts. They're good, but don't do them. The Lord, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he empowers you to walk this, you're going to hear his voice when you become into that place of reconciliation, when you start reconciling and resting and resting and listening and resting and listening and resting and walking and resting in the midst of the storm. I'm resting. In the midst of the storm, be filled with the Spirit of God. I love. See, Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And I love Benny Hinn's explanation of being filled with the Spirit. It just resonated with me. I say this graciously. I believe the church has got a wrong picture of the scripture. Don't be drunk with wine, because that's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we think we're supposed to be drunk with the Spirit with excess. He didn't say have excess. He said be filled with the Spirit. Because see, in drunkenness, excess is not good. When the guys got filled with the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, if you've ever drank and been drunk, you're not up running around. Because when you're that drunk with excess, you're flattened out pretty much. So they sounded like they were gibbering drunkenness, but they weren't. When I was drunk, I didn't get up and run and party. If I was excess, I didn't do that. I'm not saying the power won't hit you. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, I think Benny Hinn says it's like a sail. Set your sail into the wind. When the Holy Ghost, when you set your sail into the wind, you're setting your sail into the wind. It's catching the wind, and it's full. If you turn your sail to the right, it's going to start flipping, 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 and you're not, it's going to slow you down. If you turn your sail to the left, out of the wind, you're going to pump, 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 pump. Be full, power, power, moving, be filled. You never run out if you stay filled. If you was on the ocean, you could run forever around the world with the wind blowing you. You would never be empty. That's reconciling yourself to Christ. Ministry of Reconciliation is a personal relationship where your life is, you have that quiet, peaceable life because of righteousness. You have that peace of God. And when people, see, if the body of Christ was united in faith and in that, do you know how powerful we would look to the rest of the world? Just like I look at those little cops coming down the road, I bet you everybody turned their head watching that, and the world would be saying, wow, there's something about you. You have authoritative look about you. You walk with this assurance and confidence in Christ Jesus. Yeah, you walk with a name. You walk with the rank, the authority. Sliding back a little bit, but Jesus. 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 And I'm going to end on this. You have the armor. He says to have your feet shod, covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation, 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 reconciliation, 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 reconciliation. Now go. But see, we kind of skip over that word. Oh, how beautiful are the feet that bring the gospel, and that's true. But your weapon is because you're going to walk. It's for you. It's for you to walk in. This is not for me to take and defend the enemy out here or for others. It's for me to walk in. I'm walking in assurance of the preparation because I've had my time with the Lord. I sit with him. I got reconciled. I stayed in that ministry. That's a forever lifetime ministry. He committed that word to us. And then once we get reconciled, then we don't even have to tell. It'll be a witness. And people will ask. Yes, we're going to share. I'm not saying we're not going to do that. But all I'm saying, it's not about, look at me, I got Jesus. I've been there and done that. That's not a pretty witness. It turns the world off. It turns believers off that are new in the body. It turns yourself off because you know it's not right either. So you have to have preparation, y'all. You can't, I'm going to say it, because you can't come here on Sunday morning and get an hour and think you're going to walk in victory. You will not. Now, God is faithful, and he will work with you, but it will be a very slow process because he wants you to come on board and do. He's already reconciled. We got to reconcile. You know, you got to sit under the word. You got to get some studying going on. You got to study to show yourself approved, not showing God, but show yourself you're approved of God. Reconciliation, reconciliation. Show yourself so that you can walk with confidence in the midst of that storm. You know, and it's like, we got some great Sunday schools. I'm telling you, I love teaching because I know the freedom. I've been there. I've been in the world. I've been in the religion. I've been in this bondage of both. And I'd rather be free. I'm staying free. I'm going to get more free and more free and more free. So there's no condemnation here. There is no condemnation. Please don't let anything condemn you because this is not to condemn you. And I said to my Sunday school today, condemnation comes to drive you from Jesus. Conviction comes to draw you to Jesus. Two different things. If you're running from Jesus, you're condemned. But if you're being convicted, the Holy Spirit's just telling you, look, this is who you are. You're righteous. This is what we do. So if you have condemnation, there's hope, man. Just get in the Word. Get in the Word of God. Reconcile yourself. That is your ministry, to become a minister and a witness for Christ. Of Christ, not for him, of him.